Indeed you are. Now, coming up soon, our panel is all about making things, coming up with an idea and then turning that into a business. I'll be joined by three super talented guests who have done exactly that. And also, we take a trip to Melbourne's Federation Square. It might only be 10 years old, but already its heritage value has been taken into account with a new street gallery space. But right now, who am I? I was once the tallest structure in the world. Over 200 million people have climbed me, and Grace Jones parachuted off me to escape James Bond in A View to a Kill. Yep, I'm the Eiffel Tower. And here is Colin Bissett on one of the greatest structures of our time.
Before 1889, the sign of a great city was one whose skyline was dominated by the towers and domes of its religious buildings. The engineer Gustav Eiffel changed all that when he built an elegant new structure to mark the entrance to the World Fair in Paris. Never has a single construction had quite so much impact, and although reviled by many at the time, the Eiffel Tower has become one of the best-loved structures in the world. It's an audacious idea, constructing something so dominant and essentially useless in the centre of a major city. It had a restaurant, of course, and viewing platforms, but its real coup was in making the public gaze upon a marvel of engineering and find beauty in it. More importantly, it completely rewrote the visual language of cities. At the same time in America, steel-framed buildings were becoming popular, but their metal structure was always given a respectable skin of stone, glass, or decorative terracotta. Whereas in Paris, the decoration of Eiffel's tower was in its curving shape and the lace-like tracery of the struts that held it together. Others tried this trick, notably Russian constructivist Vladimir Tatlin in 1919 with his monument to the Third International, which was taller and sadly unbuildable. It was only in the middle of the 20th century, with the advent of modern telecommunications, that cities started erecting utilitarian towers in their centres. From Toronto to Brasilia, Seoul to Sydney, these thrusting telecom towers demonstrated to the world how up-to-date their cities were, in just the same way that those spires and domes of the past had demonstrated their godliness. The Eiffel Tower became, like Sydney's Opera House, a symbol for a nation. This was not enough for Parisians, apparently. Like a quiet child seeking attention, and nearly 100 years after Eiffel's Tower was erected, they startled the world by dropping another equally shocking building into its centre. Looming over the narrow streets of Paris's historic centre, the 1970s Pompidou Centre displayed its guts proudly, prompting another high-tech fashion in architecture. Some cities, it seems, just cannot stop themselves.
And that is our writer in residence, Colin Bissett, on the iconic engineering masterpiece, the Eiffel Tower, once the tallest structure in the world. And one of my favourite stories, though, that I've always been fascinated by is the French, who actually cut the lift cables during the German occupation of Paris so Hitler would have to climb the stairs.